Just before June 1st, God began to speak to me about a new era. We're entering a new era. And I went so far as knowing that I needed a new journal because this was going to be something that was extraordinary. So the title of my message is New Era. Small Straws, this day brings forth a new era with the opportunities you might not have considered in the past. Watch for circumstances to come along that will make it possible for you to do something extraordinary. When you move into the possibilities before you, do not force anything. Wait for me to lead you and make the path smooth for you to travel. Era is defined as a fixed point in time from which a series of years is reckoned. A memorable or important date or event, especially one that begins a new period in the history of a person. When I woke up on the morning of June 1st, my first thought was that the difficulties of these last 5 months are over. Ha! And we can move on. And I said, yay, hooray! My next thought was actually the past from this moment, from the moment I was born, the past is over. Everything that I've done, everything that I haven't done, every disappointment, every victory, it's all over. I am in a new beginning. And no use in stressing or obsessing over what I did or did not do, the good or the bad, whether victory or defeat, perfection or defect, what's done is done, cannot be changed. So time to just move on. So hopefully we've learned from the mistakes that we've made, the poor decisions, and we can find peace in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. So what is it that the Lord said to us on June 1 again? Watch for circumstances to come along that will make it possible for you to do something extraordinary. When you move into possibilities before you, do not force anything. Wait for me to lead you and make the path smooth for you to travel. So I'm going to read some Psalms, just one verse, 5:8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. Psalm 25:5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day long. Psalm 27:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Psalm 31:3, for you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. So we're asking God for direction, to lead, to direct our steps, to move us by his power so that we're on, so that we are where we're supposed to be. And I couldn't help but think of Isaiah 42:16. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. So when it comes to the future, we're blind. We can't see what's coming. But God will lead us. He's going to show us the way. He's going to take us into the future. We don't have to know the future. We just have to know him. Romans 8:9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he's not his. So what we have to do is be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. We need to have the Holy Spirit, a new infilling, a new baptism, and then he can lead us and guide us. We be sensitive to his leading, and we're only going to do what he tells us as we live and walk in the Spirit. So here we are again. We're preaching about living and walking in the Spirit because it's important. Galatians 5:6 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when the Spirit of God dwells in us, he's going to keep us on the straight and narrow path. When he dwells in us, he's going to keep us where we need to be. If he's not in us, we're going to be lost. We're going to be like the blind. One of the ways for me to know what's happening in the spirit is small straws. God gives me some spiritual insight to what he's doing and where he's taking me every day. I wait, I hear, and then I know what God is doing. And I pay attention to visions and dreams and signs in the natural. Those are the ways that we know that we're doing what God wants us to do, if we're on track or not. So in a recent vision, I saw pieces of a puzzle that had not yet been put together to form a picture. just a lot of pieces. And I knew they fit together, but I hadn't put them together. And so this is the word I received from the Lord. The puzzling aspects of your life will begin to fall into place to form the image of your purpose. This is big. The avenue of fulfillment will come into view as the way of progression is made clear. Set yourself to focus on where you're going instead of obsessing about where you've been. Because what are we going to do about the past? It's done. You can do nothing about that. It's over. Back to the word. This is a new day, and everything that is behind is done. He gave me Psalm 84:5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. So God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And if we seek to know him, not to know about him, but to have a relationship with him, to know him, we will be led in the direction of the fulfillment of that plan. Otherwise, there's no fulfillment apart from Christ. We have to stay with him. We have to know him. We have to be led by him. I also thought of life as being a collection of bits and pieces of experiences that when they're put together will create a whole picture of who we are. And hopefully, who we are will fulfill his purposes. About a decade ago, I'm thinking maybe a little more than a decade ago, the Lord spoke to me of bringing us to a new plateau. And he said that I wouldn't stand alone on that plateau. He would bring us all into a new level of revelation, and that old ceilings would become new floors. So we were on that plateau, been on that plateau, and the old ceiling represented the upper limits of our spiritual experience, became a new foundation for us to walk on. So old ceilings did become new floors. A plateau is defined as an extensive land area having a relatively level surface raised sharply above adjacent land, and it is a level of attainment or achievement. So it's a picture of moving up to a higher level spiritually. Then I had a vision of us leaving that plateau and rising up to a second plateau. And that level was going to be where we would develop a closer relationship with God and walk in more truth and wisdom. So the first plateau, I need to interject here, I think was the beginning of years of coming into divine order. Everything we did was to bring us into order, his order. We had to leave things behind. We had to change the way we did things. So that first plateau was a matter of setting everything in order. The second plateau was about having a relationship with God and walking in more truth and wisdom. And we've lived spiritually on that plateau for several years. I'm going to read from Psalm chapter 18, verses 19 through 21. He also brought me out into a broad place, a plateau, if you will. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. So first and second plateau. Then last week I had a vision of a third plateau. And I believe it's going to be extraordinary. We're probably just coming to that plateau. Every plateau is vital to our spiritual growth and relationship with God. But this level, I believe, we will discover that our walk with him depends on separation from world views and world values that we are not to embrace. What we are to embrace is eternal perspective in the kingdom of God. So what is this plateau about? God is bringing us out of world views, out of worldly attitudes. We're going to be separated to him more than we've ever been, more completely than we've ever been. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So many of us who profess that we're Christians don't live and walk in the Spirit. We embrace worldly values. We think more about our things, our physical lives, than we actually do spend time in the Spirit or seek God. On this plateau, you have an opportunity to change that so that you're actually living in the Spirit, so that you're actually embracing God and His value in your life. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." This is a plateau. We're going to set our thoughts, our minds on things of the Spirit. There is a definite separation between the things of the flesh and that of the Spirit. And those who have some affinity with the flesh will not be able to move to this third plateau. It's going to take a change of mind to move to this plateau that's just now becoming available to us. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, "This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." We're going to be somewhat purified. I mean, and God has been purifying us as we go. We're better than we were 15, 20 years ago. We're better than we were, hopefully, last year or the year before. So he's saying, if you can't deal with corruption, with your own corruption, with your own unrighteousness, with your own flesh, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And when I say inherit the kingdom of God, I'm not talking about when you die. I'm talking about we inherit the kingdom of God right now. We live in the kingdom right now. And after death, we just continue on in that kingdom life. So we need to establish ourselves in His kingdom life right here, right now, on this new plateau. Revelation chapter 21, 7 says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And what did he say? He who overcomes. Overcomes what? The flesh, the world, the enemy. Those are the things we overcome. Then we inherit all the things that he wants for us. Those who desire more of God, a closer relationship with him, will move to a new and higher spiritual level. Those who don't won't. So today you get to make a decision. If you want to go higher, if you want to go on this new plateau, then you're going to have to leave the world behind. You're going to have to really put God first. With every new season come opportunities that require deliberate decisions that will cause one of three outcomes. And I'm going to enumerate those. First one is one of the possibilities or the outcomes of deliberate decision is that you'll fall away. Hebrews chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." So one possibility, if you decide that you're going to stay in the world and go with worldly values and just call yourself a Christian and yet you're not living it, I think you've already fallen away somewhat. I mean, talk to me. If you're not living for God, if you're not serious about God, where are you then? You're in religion. So you're in religion, but do you have real relationship with God? That's the question. You can either fall away or you can stay where you are. Those whose goal it is to fit in with religious and social culture will be compromised and not grow spiritually. If that's your goal, is to fit in, to be part of a religious or cultural society, you're not going anywhere. Because if that's your goal, you can achieve that, but it's not God's goal for you. Religion will become ritualistic and lifeless. We don't want to do that. If you've done that, you need to quit it and do something real. Have real relationship with God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm going to read through 23. "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men." Verse 23, "These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom, but as self-imposed religions, false humility. They neglect the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." So religion doesn't do one thing for you. You can decide something about that. You can't carry it through. You can't carry that out unless you have the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that gives you the strength to stand against the world, flesh, the enemy. So you're either going to fall away, or you're going to stay where you are, or the third option is you're going to go up. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I will receive you." So you're going to have to separate yourself from all the things that drag you back into the world, or you're not going to go to the third plateau. Simple as that. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we're embarking on a new era. Let's consider our options. Let's make decisions that will establish us on a new level of closer relationship with God. When I was writing this message, I remembered a song from the 80s, and I think the artist was John Starnes, and it was Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I'm going to read part of that, of the refrain. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If we haven't gotten there yet, where we're really seeing Jesus, we are in his presence, living according to his power, the things of earth will not grow dim. If we're not looking to Jesus, then we're looking to the world. And we have to be separate. We have to separate ourselves from the things that are temporary and set our hearts on that which is eternal. So let's make every effort to walk and live in the realm of his Spirit, in his light, and in his grace. Amen.